have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music. KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
Hi, I'm Dr. Jerry Green. Welcome to Open Mic with Bishop Ernest E. Richard and Company. We have an awesome show lined up for you tonight as the Bishop tackles kingdom issues and current events. But first, let's receive First Lady Sharon Richard with her faithful financial moment. Good evening, First Lady.
Thank you, Jerry. This is Sharon Richard with your Faithful Financing Moment. One of the greatest gifts that we have been blessed with is our family, our parents, children, spouse, siblings, and other extended family members are all gifts from God. Sometimes they may frustrate us, and other times they may bring us inexplicable joy. But in any case, there is a unique connection that binds us. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8, we are told, "Anyone who does not provide for their relatives, and especially for their own household, has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever." I am certain that in this scripture, providing speaks to both providing loving care and providing financial support to ensure that the strength of the entire family is maximized. Just as God gave each of us different gifts that balance each other to achieve His will, don't you think that He provided that balance within our families so that we may help each other to accomplish the fullness of His will for our families? This does not mean that we must take on the full burden of expenses for every adult relative, but if we remind ourselves of our commitment to love as God loved us and the gift of the family connection, let us always give love to our family and, when necessary and able, provide financial support to family members in need. Sometimes, when we are blessed financially, we fear being taken advantage of, perhaps especially by some family members. But God does not want us to concern ourselves with that. Rather, we should be thankful for the gift of being able to help someone. This does not mean that we should not be diligent in confirming that the need is real. But God does not want us to be so concerned with the honesty of another family member to the point where we are unable to simply love them. I often hear of money becoming a division between family members. In fact, many stay away from some family members because of financial disputes from years past. Don't allow money to separate you from any family member. You may not realize it, but doing that may block your blessings from the Lord as He waits on you to open your heart to one of the greatest gifts that He has already given you, your family. This is Sharon Richard with your Faithful Financing Moment. Up next, Nina Taylor with your gospel news, followed by Open Mic with the Bishop with your host, Bishop Ernest E. Richard, Jr.
How you doing, everybody? I'm Nina Taylor. Here's your gospel news for this week. What is a Stellar Award? Well, a Stellar Award is an award presented by SAGMA to recognize achievements in gospel music. The annual presentation ceremony features performances by prominent gospel artists and a presentation of those awards that have a more popular interest. The Stellars are the first of the big two major gospel music awards that are held annually. The first Stellar Award ceremony was held in 1984 to honor and respect the musical accomplishments by gospel performers for that year. Following the 2018 ceremony, SAGMA overhauled a few Stellar Award categories for 2019. The first award ceremony was held at Ari Crown Theater in Chicago in 1984. Over the years, the Stellars have been held in various locations, including Atlanta, Houston, Los Angeles, Las Vegas, Nashville, and New York. Starting from the 30th Annual Stellar Awards, which was in 2015, the show has been held in Orleans Arena in Las Vegas and airing on American Digital Cable and Satellite Television. This year, the Stellar Awards will return to Las Vegas with hosts Jonathan McReynolds and Tasha Cobbs Leonard. Here is our final list of nominees for the 2023 Stellar Award presentation. Contemporary Female Artist of the Year. The nominees are Cece Winans, Doe, Miranda Curtis, Pamela Mann, and Tasha Cobbs Leonard. Contemporary Album of the Year. The nominees are All Things New, Ty Tribbett, Kingdom Book One, Maverick City Music and Kirk Franklin, Overcomer Deluxe, Pamela Mann, and winning Pastor Mike Jr. Traditional Album of the Year. The nominees are Believe Again, J.J. Harrison, Imprint, Zacardi Cortez, Nothing Else Matters, Instead of Complaining, Praise Him, Brent Jones. And Rapology, Volume 1, Bishop S.Y. Younger. Music Video of the Year. The nominees are Goodness of God, Jesus, featuring Leandria Johnson, Mr. McClure, Michael McClure Jr., and Positive, Erica Campbell. Special Event Album of the Year, Christmas at Our House, Teddy and Tina Campbell. Kingdom Business, Season 1 Soundtrack. T.D. Jakes Presents, Finally Loosed. And the Urban Hymnal, Tennessee State University Marching Band. Rap Hip Hop Gospel Album of the Year. The nominees are As I Am, 1K Few, Church Clothes, 4, Lecrae, He's Been Good, Ms. Tiffany, Us Against the World, God Over Money. Youth Project of the Year. The nominees are Alana Inez, Minor in a Major World, Alfonso A.J. Evans Jr., Not Too Young, AMG Kids, Sunday School, Detroit Youth Choir, Roxbell, and Walt Whitman and the Soul Children of Chicago. Quartet of the Year. The nominees are Keith Wonderboy Johnson, Restructure, The Christian Brothers, He Rewrote My Story, The Hawkins Boys, Vanquished, and The Williams Singers, Quartages. Praise and Worship Album of the Year. The nominees are Die to Live, Miranda Curtis, Hymns, Tasha Cobbs Leonard, Morning Songs, The Laney Land Music, and The Invitation, Isabel Davis. Praise and Worship Song of the Year. The nominees are I Still Have You, Smokey Norville, I Will Rejoice, Isabel Davis, The Moment, Tasha Cobbs Leonard, and You've Been Good to Me, Zacardi Cortez. Rap Hip Hop Song of the Year. The nominees are Any Attack, Lecrae, and 1K Few. Black Sheep, Pastor Mike Jr., He's Been Good, Miss Tiffany, and Jaira, My Provider, featuring Lecrae, and New by Ty Trivett. Well, that's our list of nominees for this year's Stellar Gospel Music Awards. Here's your top 10 gospel songs for this week. Number 10, Wow, Walk on Water, Lena Bird Miles. Always Peace at number 9 from Brian Courtney Wilson. Great God, Demetrius West and Jesus Promoters at number 8. Number 7, Nothing Else Matters, Instead of Complaining, Praise Him from Brent Jones. Number 6, Miracles, Kiara Sheard featuring Pastor Mike Jr. 5, Daily Bread, Otis Kemp. Number 4, Feel All Right, Blessed, Erica Campbell. Number 3, Tent Revival, Forward City. Number 2, The Moment, Tasha Cobbs Leonard. And our new number 1 song comes from Tim Bowman Jr., Faith City, featuring Leandria Johnson. The song is entitled Jesus. Well, that's your top 10 songs and your Stellar Gospel Music Award nominees. I'm Nina Taylor. Don't forget to connect with me on all social media outlets. Go to my website at msninataylor.com. Let's get back to more great gospel music on this great station. Hello, I'm Nina Taylor. Welcome to Open Mic with Bishop Ernest E. Richard and Company. This show tackles kingdom issues and current events from a biblical perspective. Now, let's join Bishop and Company for today's discussion. Good evening, Bishop.
Good evening to you, Nina Taylor, and welcome to each and every one of you. We're so blessed, God, for your being here with us today. We love you with the love of the Lord. Thank you. Welcome to Open Mic with the Bishop. Those of you who are on Facebook Live, those of you who actually are on our Zoom feed, we're going to try Zoom for the first time in several months. We're going to do our best to try to work with it. My computer is acting like it don't know who I am, and I don't know why. So I'm going to have to try my best to try to restart it, and then hopefully we can get everybody involved. In the meantime, let me introduce you to my co-host. She's been with me for a short while, and God has really blessed this young lady to be a blessing to us. So I want you to welcome and say hello to Pastor Anna Henderson, all the way from Indianapolis, Indiana. Pastor Henderson, the Lord bless you, my dear sister. How are you?
Bless you, sir. Good evening. Good evening to each one on with us tonight. It is a blessing to be here, and I am excited about the discussion on tonight.
Well, I am as well as you are. We're just in. Let me check, because sometimes we get special guests. Is there anybody else that's with us tonight on the airwaves that please state your name, where you're from, if you don't mind, please?
Good evening, good evening, good evening. My name is Elder Lauren Bishop Brown.
Elder Lauren, I'm so happy to have you here. I'm just excited for what God is doing in and with you. She was with us last week, so that you will all know. We'll talk more about that in just a few short seconds. I want to say hello to Prophetic Eyes. If you can please go to TikTok. I'm going to need a moderator tonight, because sometimes we get these folk who think they know everything but don't know anything, and we ain't trying to play games tonight. Nonetheless, let me check. Is there anyone else that's here with us? If so, please state your name and where you are from. Okay, we don't hear anybody else. We're going to assume that the trio that we're working with tonight, as always, ladies and gentlemen, I want to say hello to my dear sister. She's been through a lot during the year of 2023, but she's had more triumphs than she's had troubles. Please give yourself a hand, Dr. Kimmy Robinson. I know you're busy. You probably can't talk, and if you can, you'll open your mic. But please at least give yourself a hand. Just want you to know that we love you with the love of the Lord. We know you work hard behind the scenes. You try to stay unseen, but the truth of the matter is we can't help but see you because we love you. This show would not be going forward if it were not for people of your caliber. Well, we've got to try to wrap up what we started just last week, and we started talking about a title, The Seeds You Sow Become the Harvest You Reap. We're going to continue to talk about principles of sowing and reaping. A lot of people don't really understand. I don't know what it is with us as human beings. We think that our knowledge, our intellect, supersedes the knowledge and the intellect of Almighty God, the very one who created each and every one of us. Those of you that want to join us in the discussion, you are welcome. We ask that you be courteous and kind and try to keep your comments as positive as possible. Some of you who are on our Zoom feed, you can see the number there, 646-564-9842. We invite you to come in, and we invite you to come and join the conversation. In the meantime, Elder Brown, do you have your Bible close by?
I can get my Bible online, yes. What do you need, sir?
Well, here's what I'll do. I will have you pray us in. Pastor Henderson, if you would do me a favor, if you would grab Ecclesiastes chapter 11, 1 through 6, that's our base scripture. And we're going to add other scripture as we go through today's process and today's programming. So if you'll be so kind as to get your hands on that, we'll begin to move forward. Elder Brown, would you please pray us in?
Yes, I will, Bishop. Father God, we just thank you on this evening for who you are, the head of our lives, oh God. We thank you, Lord. We bow our natural knee as an act of spiritual submission to you, oh God. We surrender all, oh God. And Lord, we thank you for this evening and this opportunity. We thank you, Lord, for clarity of speech, clarity of delivery, oh God. And Lord, as we go through the rest of this show, oh God, wash us in the blood of your precious Son, oh God, removing all sin, oh God. Hallelujah. And presenting us back to the Father, blameless, oh God. Thank you, Lord, for being able to be reconciled unto you, oh God, our adoptive Father. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen, and amen.
Amen, amen, and amen. Pastor Henderson, if you will be so kind as to pull scripture forward. And also we had Galatians, the sixth chapter. Elder Brown, get your Bible, as a matter of fact. Galatians chapter 6, we're going to do verses 6, 7, 8, and 9. But you
yes,
first,
sir.
Pastor Henderson.
Okay, I will be reading from Ecclesiastes, the 11th chapter, starting with verse 1. Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Give a portion to seven and also to eight, for thou knowest not what evil shall come upon the earth. If the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth, And if the tree fall toward the south or toward the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. As thou knowest not what is the way of the spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. In the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thy hand, for thou knowest not whether shall prosper either this or that, or whether they both should be alike good. I read in your hearing Ecclesiastes, the 11th chapter, verses 1 through 6, in Jesus' name.
Amen. The word of God for the people of God. Okay, Elder Brown, let's go ahead and let's drop in Galatians chapter 6, verses 6 to 9, and see what they're saying. And I'm still having trouble with my computer. I'm about ready to toss this thing out the window, okay? Thank God the window ain't that close to me. Otherwise, it'd already be gone. Bless you, Dr. Jerry Green. Thank you for coming on. You can join us on the radio, on the telephone, if you wish, sir. But go ahead, Elder.
All right. Galatians 6, 6 through 9, and it reads as thus. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Galatians 6, 6
through
9.
Amen, amen. As we said, we have been a little while into our studies talking about the seeds you sow are eventually become the harvest that you reap. And, I mean, we had a lot to say, so I'm going to try to I always try to put it in a nutshell or in a fashion where we can begin our conversations. Once again, for those of you that desire to join us respectfully on our on the telephone, 646-564-9842. One of the things that we did share, and I kept reiterating this, is everything that we deal with in life comes from a seed. God set it up like that. Many of you have read Genesis chapter 1, and you saw where God said on several occasions, and every time God said something, something happened. And I'm trying to keep it as simple as possible. The one amazing thing that we never, ever overlook is the very fact that God made man. For when he said to the Lord Jesus Christ and to the Holy Spirit, the Trinity, or the triune God, however you want to say it, he said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness, and let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, and every living thing that creepeth, every living thing that liveth. And so God put an awesome responsibility into us as human beings, and I don't want us to diminish what God has placed in us. God has given us the very same spiritual ability that he has in terms of faith and speaking and bringing things into manifestation. We can't receive anything from God, and we can't open the door and allow God through his word to manifest anything unless we sow a seed. Now, a seed, like I said before, could be in the form of words. It could be, you know, words that are spoken into the spirit realm. Everything starts in the spirit realm. You see me, those of you by social media, and we want to welcome those of you that are listening by iHeartRadio, Spreaker Radio. Thank you, our dear friend Jerry Royce, for what you do for this wonderful program at Elations, Blog Talk Radio, TuneIn Radio, Spotify Radio. Thank you all for joining us and coming into this podcast. podcast. We pray that you get something out of this. As I was saying, you know, that seed may be a form in the words that you speak, which you release in the spirit realm, and it can also be in the form of things like money or material things, so that we're sowing to bring spiritual truth into a physical manifestation and to a level of prosperity where it becomes useful not only unto us, but also unto those with whom God has placed within our stratosphere. This is how the believer in Christ is empowered to prosper with the blessing as we cultivate the habit of sowing seeds on the earth as a way of life. It's important to understand that when we come before the Lord, we have to come with the focus of, first of all, acknowledging who he is. Has anybody ever paid attention to the beginning of what we call structured prayer? Y'all know, Our Father which art in heaven. Come on, help me out, ladies. The Lord's Prayer I'm talking about. But then,
the Lord's Prayer.
Thank you. I knew it was going to come back to me. I had it right there. Thank you so much. Bless it, Dr. Timmy. The thing we have to look at is simply this. How is it that we say, Our Father, who art in heaven? What we are doing is acknowledging the very source from where all our blessings flow, from where all our blessings are coming from. And it becomes important that, you know, when we come before the Lord, before we focus on any needs, we have to begin sowing seeds. We focus our needs on worshiping him and worshiping him alone. He expects us to come before him with seeds, but he also expects us to come with adoration, with praise, acknowledging the fact that he is God. God wants to see our seeds so as to be able to meet those needs. Now, the Bible warns us in Ecclesiastes chapter 5. I know we didn't read this again today, but I'll read it real quick. It says, as you enter the house of God, pay attention to this, folks, because some of us go in nonchalant. Our minds are 50 miles away from worship, 150 miles away from giving God his due glory, his due honor, and his due praise. When the scripture says, enter his gates with thanksgiving in our heart and into his courts with praise, there is a reason why you need to enter his gate with thanksgiving. The very fact that he gives you life, health, strength, the very fact that he gives you food, clothing, and shelter, the very fact that he keeps the enemy away from most of us on many occasions, and even in the midst of the storm, we know that our soul is anchored in the Lord. Yeah. We understand that we cannot look out of the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ. All these things should make us, God is our protector. God is our provider. When we have anguish of mind and it seems like our thoughts are mixed like a tossed salad, God brings that perfected peace that keeps our hearts and minds as we think on the goodness of Jesus. He becomes that banner of love that's over each and every one of us and puts us in a great position where we can have comfort. I like the fact that David turned around and said in Psalms 8, when I consider the work of thy hands, let me back up, when I consider the moon, the stars, the skies, and the work of thy fingers, David was baffled. He was not baffled, meaning he didn't know, but he was awestruck in how important we are to Almighty God. He turns around and says in that fourth verse, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? He goes on to say, thou made him a little lower than the angels. Now, any of you that have studied angels, you know they have some amazing things that they do. Ain't number one, the only way we as humans are ever going to fly is if we go get on American Airlines or United or KLM or Southwest or whoever it is. That's the only way we're going to fly. Of course, there are those people who jump out of planes and I guess they call parachuters or whatever the case may be. Yep. Angels can fly. Yet God has given angels charge over us to move on our every command. You have angels that you actually speak to. But let me show you something. Sometimes we fail to speak to those angels. We're talking about, I need finances. Now, I'm going to talk to those of you who are tithers, those who give to the body of Christ, those who bless the church, because you got people today that do not believe in tithing, that do not believe in offering. Let me help you out with something. And I want one of y'all to get Luke 6:38, because I do want to talk about that as well. You don't understand the very fact that there has to be an investment before there can be a return. Y'all understand the base principles of banking? You put X amount of money into the bank, And when you put that X amount of money into a bank, there can be a withdrawal because you have something there. A lot of you can't receive from God because you put nothing into your worship with God. These are seeds that you sow, and they bring forth a harvest. The Bible says that God inherits the praises of his people. And in order for God to inherit your praise, you've got to give something to get something back. My brother, my sister, it's a seed. Understand how the power of that seed works. That seed is planted. Now I'm going to do something that you all understand. When I say you all understand it, you are actually literally going to look at the physical. When a farmer plants seed, whether it's corn, wheat, whatever type of crop he is planting, he has to go and get the ground ready. He prepares the ground. He fertilizes the ground. And he cultivates the ground. And then he digs many ditches, I like to call them, about 2, 3, 6 inches deep. And then before he even begins to plant the seed, I found out that they go back over the ground again and they do that first level of watering for that seed. Now he goes back and he begins to plant that seed. How does that work for you spiritually? When you enter his gates with thanksgiving in your heart, you are now preparing the ground so that the seed can be planted. When you enter his gates with praise, the ground has been prepared. Now you are ready to release. You want God to inhabit your praises. You want God to come and the Holy Spirit to fill the temple, to fill the presence of where you're worshiping. You came in with a ready mind and a will and a desire to move forward and to allow the Holy Spirit to come in and to permeate the place and invite the presence of Almighty God. We don't see a lot of signs, miracle signs and wonders in this particular day and age because we fail often to come in and properly prepare. We got our mind on our homes. We got our minds on our cars. We got our minds on our kids. We got our minds on our job. We got our minds on that he said, she said mess. It ain't going to do a hill of beans for you to begin with. Beloved, it's time for you to bring your mind. And I like what Paul said in Colossians chapter 3, verse 1, for us to set our affections on things above and not on the things of the earth. I started reading Ecclesiastes 5, 1 through 3. Let me finish this. And then, ladies, I'm going to give you opportunity to expound or respond to what's been said. It says, and this is the NIV, as you enter the house of God, keep your ears open and your mouth shut. Let me read that part again, because see, a lot of us fail to understand this. As you enter the house of God, keep your ears open and your mouth shut. If your ears are open, Jesus on one occasion said, my sheep know my voice, my sheep hear my voice. They are known of me. We have to understand how to invite the presence of God in. When you hear the Spirit of God ministering to your spirit and you keep your mouth shut, see, some of us going there, we're speaking the wrong thing at the right time. We're so busy speaking negativity. I can't do this and I can't do that and I can't go here and I can't go there. You can't, because you told yourself and convinced yourself and allowed the enemy to spoon feed you doubt, unbelief, and persuasion and other things that don't even add up to what the word is saying. Of course, keep your ears open and your mouth shut. Here's what it says. It is evil to make mindless offerings to God. What do you think that means, to make mindless offerings to God? Y'all act like God is let's make a deal. God ain't Monty Hall. Ah, Elder Lauren Brown, come on down. You're the next contestant. No, that's not the way it works. I'm not saying you do this. I'm just using you as an example. The truth of the matter is we have got to recognize that God is not the host of let's make a deal. God is not. What's that other TV show where they used to give away a lot of stuff? Y'all know, and I like what you're saying there, Pastor Tazewell here on TikTok. She says wasteful exchanges. We don't want to make mindless offerings of God. And then listen to this. Here's the best part. Do not make rash promises. And don't try to be hasty in bringing matters before God. The price is right. Thank you, Jordan. God bless you. So happy to have you in here today. That's the other show I was thinking about. Don't make rash promises. God, if you get me out of this, I'll never do it again. I promise you. Where are you the very next day after God delivered you? Hello, somebody? Come on. Talk to me. Now, let me give you ladies a chance to talk. There's more to this, but I want to hold right there because I feel like I'm about to head for preach mode, and this is supposed to be an open discussion. The opening dialogue simply comes to this. When we talk about coming before God, when we talk about planting seed with God and looking for a return or a harvest, what are we looking for? Come on, talk to me. Pastor Henderson, let me start with you. Go ahead.
Amen. As you were talking, I'm thinking about, as you were talking about how that farmer plants that seed, amen, and he is intentional about getting a harvest. He is intentional about planting a seed looking for a harvest. You will find no farmer or no one making an investment in something that they know in advance has no return. Usually if you invest in something, you are looking, amen, for a return. So when you are planting the seed, you're being intentional about how you handle where you plant the seed, where you invest in, because where you invest in, you may have the money or you may have the seed or whatever it is that you're planting, but if you don't plant or invest in good soil, then the potential of not getting a good harvest is always there. So when you have that seed, that farmer is looking, he's checking out the investment, the soil, and then he's being intentional about pulling up anything that's going to be a hindrance, like the weeds. So as we think of the seed, and we're planting seeds, and we're looking for the harvest, we have to be intentional how to protect that seed. Be intentional, you know, when a person is dealing with the stock market, they put their money in, they're constantly checking to see, is there someplace they have to invest it, they're constantly checking. And we have to give checkups to make sure that the seed is being protected,
yeah,
to make sure that weeds,
yeah,
is not coming up around it. You know, make sure that we're not getting distracted in our spiritual journey as we receive the seed of God's word, so that we don't get off track, but we're protecting that promise. You know, God has spoken to different ones, and probably someone that's even listening tonight has made some promises. Amen. They have some expectations that you're looking for. You have invested in some things. You have invested your time, whether it's in your job or whether in ministry or whether in a relationship, and you're looking for something different. And you have to protect that seed. You have to continue to provide, as you were saying about the fertilizer, you have to continue to provide fertilizer to protect that seed. That means that you have to attend to it. You can't be wishy-washy about what you're saying and what you're believing. You have to make sure that what you are believing and what you're trusting God for, that you are keeping it in a belief that you said, Lord, I trust you. I know the harvest coming. I'm doing my part.
Amen.
And I'm trusting you, Lord, to bring it forth. And so just being attentive to that seed is so important to the growth process.
Amen. I apologize to my friends on Facebook Live. I just realized my battery is kind of dwindling down. I never put it back up, but I think we got it now. I do, and I want to say hello to my prelet, Your Grace, Bishop Jelani Kafala. Thank you so much for coming on Facebook Live. You're always welcome, sir. If you desire to join us, 646-564-9842. I do welcome you to come on the panel. We're talking about the seeds you sow become the harvest you reap. That is our presiding prelate for the Bridge Network, in case some of you are wondering. I'm glad that he checks in on us to see what we're doing. You know, I'm like this. I'd like to think that I'm not one who's under authority, but I am one who is under authority, even though God has given authority to me. See, the problem here with a lot of us, we want to be on our own. We want to be an island all to ourselves. We want to run everything and do everything, and we don't want to be accountable for anything. And we're in a day and age where folks better get back in line with what the word says. God set up authority. I know it sounds like I'm going a total different way, but no, I'm not. Still, there can be seeds of destruction. We talked about it. Remember back in, I believe, Proverbs 16, verses 16, 17, 18, and 19. We talked about the six things that God hates and how that seventh thing was so detestable to him. And the last thing that God said, sowing seeds of discord among brethren, was the one thing. Elder Lauren, let me get you in here. Let me hear your take and what you're thinking at this time.
All right, Bishop. My thoughts were,
as we're entering the church and coming from a non-church background, and let me explain myself. We didn't go to church as a family when I was younger. I wasn't raised in the church like some people were. We only went when someone was buried, married, christened, yada, yada. You know the rest. But I thank God for being learn about the seriousness and the responsibility that comes with me professing Christ as my Savior, but also as building a relationship. And what I need to remember as far as with any relationship, you have to have communication. If you don't have communication, the relationship will eventually die or become totally one-sided. And with God giving us the ability to make choices, and I hate that word, forgive me, blame my sister Evangelist Morgan, we have choices as adults, as children, as people, period. And when we choose not to follow Lauren, the directions, Lauren, stuff does not come out the way it's supposed to. For example, if we choose to plant a seed, but you don't give it any sunshine, you don't give it any water, you don't give it any oxygenation, what's going to happen to that seed? Wonderful if you pray over it. Wonderful if you breathe, you know, carbon dioxide onto it. That's great. But it says to toil the ground, prepare the ground, put the seed in, cover the seed, water it, go back and check it. Do the sometimes you make the trenches, like you said, around the seed again. Make sure it's in the right area as far as sunlight. There are specific directions, even in life, as parents. When you sow that seed of nastiness, that seed of cursing, that seed of telling your seed, your child, which is 50% you, that you'll never be anything, you'll never go anywhere. I don't like you. I can't see it.
You're about to hurt somebody. Go ahead.
Watch it. That seed comes back. As a classroom teacher, I've seen it. And that seed of discord, that seed of anger, that seed of I don't have your love is a very powerful, dangerous seed that people sow. And when you don't realize it and you keep doing it and doing it, the human mind does not have the capacity to forget stuff. It stores it right back there in the nape of your neck is what I call it. And then let a fragrance come by. Let a color come by. Let a car come by. And that memory comes up. It's a trauma that revisits the human mind over and over. The seed that someone planted. Until we learn how to cut those seeds down and or remove them and change the seed, which man has done. You get cross-pollination where they make, these cherry plums or apple oranges. That's done in the lab. That's us altering the seed that we've already been given. Amen?
All right. I know, Dr. Kimmy, you say you're not able to join on certain occasions, but what I want to see, if you're able to, anything you want to add to what we have already shared or I'm not going to ask whether you agree or disagree. What I'm going to say is there anything else that you would like to share? Nothing? Okay. I mean, when I hear nothing, I'm going to leave it like that. So let's do it this way. As we talk about these seeds and the harvest, do we ever promise, I'm going to say for those of us who are on the panel, those of you who are listening by radio, you can mention, those of you on Facebook Live, TikTok, wherever you are, have you ever made promises to God? Think about that. Have you ever made a promise to God? Now, the next thing I want you to think about is, did you keep the promise that you made to God? All right, everybody sitting there quiet. Open your mics, ladies. Keep your mics open. It don't matter, Pastor Henderson, if Cujo start barking. When he hear my voice, he going to bark anyway. He just do that. So keep your mics open. Do not mute. I need you wide open because y'all know how I am about dead air. And Elder Brown, we work together, so you already know how
Amen.
I am about dead air.
Amen. Amen.
I got this big pet peeve about dead air.
Oh, yes, amen. Let me chime in. I made a promise to God that when I did get married, that I would make sure that when I had children, that I would dedicate them back to him. And as a young woman going through the different trials and tribulations that I went through as far as female problems, I was told that I may be barren. And that just devastated me. I was angry. I told Dr. Holly, I was like, how could this happen to me? I don't understand this. Why would God allow this? And when I first got the news that I was pregnant with my first child, which was my son, John, I didn't take the time to turn around and thank God, number one, and then turn him over to him. And when I finally got the notion, I was talking to our spiritual mother, the beloved Dr. Maddie Darden, and she said, well, then you know what? She goes, you need to get off this phone. She said, clear your mind right now. Take your time and keep that vow. She said, it would have been better had you not made that vow than you forgot about it. And it took me by the wayside for a little bit. I'm like, well, wait a minute. God knows my heart. She said, yes, but you made a vow and a promise. I said, wow.
You know
and she
what?
Said, he's waiting for you to be accountable. And I'm telling you, that things blossomed after I made that vow and stuck to it, to this day, this young man is amazing, amazing. And I'm grateful.
Amen.
To
you know
what?
Amazing.
I'm grateful.
It's amazing that you brought that up and made that comment. And Pastor Henderson, I'll give you opportunity to also share a moment with. But it's amazing that you brought that up, because even as we look at this passages of Scripture, I had someplace else I wanted to go, but it looks like we're going to be here for a split second. So let me let you talk, Pastor Henderson. And Dr. Kimmy, if you want to join us, please just come on. Just open your mic and just chime right in, because I'm trying to get her involved, because I'm very sure with all she has had to deal with in the last year or so, some things have come up and there are some things you can share. We're here to encourage the hearts of those who are listening and to the hearts of those who are watching by way of social media. People are going through things all the time. People are dealing with things all the time. People come up against things all the time. And the Bible says we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. If what you've been through, I don't have something that I could kind of latch on to. I'm going to latch on to the word anyway. But I need to know that you're human like I am, and you go through like I do. You cry like I do. You hurt like I do. You spend multiple nights, sleepless nights, thinking about things, wondering what's this and wondering. I mean, let's just get real about this thing. You know, if you're a super saint, God bless you. You're on your way to heaven anyway, so I guess we don't need to hear from you. But go ahead, Dr. I had an elevator for the 44th time. Pastor Henderson.
And I was just listening, amen, to the comments. And, you know, I couldn't really think of anything specific other than, you know, when I received the Lord as my Savior, you know, I told the Lord that I wanted to live for him and be committed. You know, I didn't want to be one of these Christians who was in and out. I didn't want to be one who was undecided of, you know, whether I really wanted to live for him or whether I really wanted to be in the world, you know. And then I told the Lord that I would, you know, be faithful, and I wanted to be obedient. I wanted to be obedient to leadership. So whatever, you know, I needed to do to walk the walk he wanted me to walk, that was what I wanted. And I didn't really trust myself, but I knew that if he strengthened me, that he would help me to do it.
Yes.
So, you know, and every day, you know, in this life, we have, like you were talking about, decisions that be made. And I truly believe that decisions that we make up our life. And so, you know, we have challenges and we make decisions. But just knowing that, because I told the Lord, I trust you, that you're going to help me. And that even though I may not always make all the right choices all the time, I always know that my commitment never falters. I'm never moving away from God. I'm always holding on to him. So, and he's holding on to me. And so that gives me that strength to keep going on. And even if you don't make the right decision one time, you have an opportunity to change and make the right decision the next time. And so I just thank God for that. And I thank and I praise God because he knows each and every one of us. And he knows, you know, what comes from our heart. And he knows us better than we know ourselves. So when we say something, God already knows if it comes from a good place. He already knows if you're sincere about keeping your vow. And that's why when you were saying earlier, it says better not to make a vow, you know, than to make one and don't keep it. Because a lot of times when people get in trouble, Lord, if you just deliver me out of this, I'll live right. And, you know, it's only for that moment because they want to get out of whatever they're in. But see, God is a merciful powerful God. So he delivers you out of it. But it's good to know that, you know, we don't just have to say words, but we can really keep our end and really be faithful to God in spite of ourselves, in spite of the decision, in spite of the challenges. You can still keep your commitment to God because he's always faithful to us.
Amen, amen. Now, Pastor Tazewell had this to say. She's on TikTok. And I want you ladies to ponder this because we're going to answer this question before we move forward. And before we do, I know we got two new callers on the line there. Would you please state your name and where you're from if you desire to be part of this conversation? We'll give you a split second here. And I'm sorry if I have to kind of try to fill air and space here. Okay, our two new callers. Would you like to state your name and where you're from? Okay. Silence gives consent. They don't want to talk, and that's fine. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Just the same, whoever you are, we bless God for you coming in. Now, Pastor Cynthia Tazewell says this. When you submit seeds and they were intentionally planted but no return, what happens to that seed? Well, two things. Let you ladies give an answer, and then I'll share from the perspective that I have. So come on, who wants to go first? Talk to me.
Can you repeat Bishop, can you repeat the question?
I'm about to. When you submit seeds and they were intentionally planted but no return, what happens to that seed? Come on. Go ahead.
I think
when you plant seed and there's no...
Go ahead. All right. Let's put Elder Brown in first, Pastor Henderson, then we'll have you come right behind him, okay? Go ahead.
Yes. Excuse me. Thank you, Sissy. Excuse me. I'm thinking in my mind, when we intentionally plant seed and that seed does not come up, we have to think about, number one, the source. Where did the seed come from? How was the seed killed or was it taken care of? How are we acting around that seed? Because if the seed does not come forth, meaning you don't reap a harvest from it, think about it. That shell becomes a casing. That case, decalcifies or falls apart and now becomes part of the soil. So we need to be cautious because the next time we go to plant seed in that same soil, we have to think about maybe we didn't have the right attitude, maybe we didn't have the right byproducts to help the seed grow. Why didn't that come forward? And who's responsible for that?
Uh-huh.
Me. Check myself first.
Okay. All right. Come on, Pastor Henderson. What do you say?
I totally agree. I totally agree. And also, you know, like she said, consider where you are planting. You know, if it was planted in a place that was not a place that would bring forth the harvest, because sometimes people sow, even in ministry, in places where it's not a God place to sow. And so maybe you're sowing into a place that has not the ability to give a return on it. You know, there are a lot of charlatans out there. There are a lot of people out there that wants to make merchandise out of the people of God. And so a lot of times you're sowing, but they may not be the place to sow your seed. So you're looking for something that doesn't have the capability, amen, to bring forth the harvest. And so that's why it's so important to know where you're sowing, and it's so important to understand, like you said, what kind of seed are you sowing, where you're sowing, and how that seed is being handled. You know, how that seed is being handled. Mm-hmm. Sometimes even financially, people sow seed, but then there's no expectation. You know, there's no name on the top. You just put the seed out there. But you have to be specific. You have to be precise. You have to be intentional. And even, you know, you said intentional, but there's no harvest. Then because when God put this in place, that sowing and reaping is God's institution of blessing his people. It's something that he established as principle. So if he says you're going to sow that you're going to reap, then it's no problem on God's end. So if there's a problem, then the problem always going to go back to the one who's sowing the seed. So the one who's sowing the seed also has to look at that as well.
Amen. Amen. Well said. Well said. Amen.
And I like that you put it in that perspective. Now, in Luke 8 and also Matthew chapter 13, there is the parable of the four different types of ground and what we deal with. You know, it starts, I think, somewhere around verse 5 in Luke chapter 8, if I'm not mistaken. And we have to understand something about this. First of all, I'm going to read just a little bit of it. It says, a sower went out to sow seed, and he sowed some, fell along, and traveled the path, and was trodden underfoot. And the birds of the air ate it up. And some seed fell on rock, and as soon as it sprouted, it withered away because it had no moisture. Right now, we see two failed seeds. Let's get the third failed seed in. And the other seed fell in the midst of the thorns, and the thorns grew up, and it was choked, and it was and choked it off. I'm sorry. Now, verse 8 says in that same chapter of Luke chapter 8 says, and some seed fell into good soil and grew up and yielded 100 times as great. As he said these things, he called out. He said, he who has ears to hear, let him be listening and let him consider and understand. Now, we all understand this parable, but just for the sake of those who may need just a little bit more to go there, we understand that the seed that fell along the roadside are basically people who heard, and before they could even get out the door, the devil came and took away the message that they had in their heart. You would receive this message in church, and you're just joyful. I'm talking about the sanctuary, the building, not the church, meaning the body of Christ, the building. And you come and you're all joyful, and before you can get out the door, this mean mugging usher done said something that caused your flesh to rise up, and you're telling this usher you will knock her into the middle of next week. What's wrong with that problem? This is what I'm trying to get to, Pastor Tazewell. You know, it was planted. If it's planted in good grounds, okay, I'm gonna get to that question in a minute. She says, but it can't be planted in good ground and not bring forth a harvest. Because A, number one, if it's planted in good ground, let me answer her question from TikTok, y'all. If it's planted in good ground, amen, then it has to grow. The word of God will never return void. It shall prosper in anything that it goes out to. It can't help but prosper. If it has been sown in good ground, that means it's fertile, it's got root, it has stability, and it has nothing to do but grow. The only one that can destroy a crop that's been planted in good ground is the individual who planted that crop to begin with. So you can sit there and believe God. I'm just going to use this as an example. You can believe God for a $10,000 return on $1,000. The only way you're not going to see the $10,000 return is because you stopped investing in faith, in belief, in trust, and confidence in the God of your salvation to bring it into manifestation. You're the only one that can destroy that seed. When it doesn't bring a return or doesn't bring a harvest, it's only because you put something in the ground or you caused something to take something out of the ground. And this is really what happens to a lot of people. We turn around, and I know I was on, let me go back to Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and finish reading, because I think I can give you the rest of your answer as I bring this up. It simply says, oh, Lord have mercy, I got so much stuff going on here. My computer don't want to act right with me. He turns around and says, where was I? Okay, here it is. Don't make rash promises. Don't be hasty in bringing matters before God. After all, God is in heaven and you are here on earth. So let your words be few. Too much activity gives you restless dreams. Too many words makes you a fool. That's God's word, okay? I can't change that. Now there are some things that I wanted to point out, and especially those of us who are in leadership. There are pitfalls that we who are in leadership, as well as those who are part of the body of Christ, have to be. So what about the crows? Like I said, if you go back and read that parable in Luke 8, sister, and read in Matthew 13, you'll know about the crows. How do the birds come and take that word? How do they pluck that word? Because you did not protect the word that you received. It is your responsibility. When you receive a word from the Lord, it is your responsibility to protect that word. That's your job. You have to do that.
Amen.
You have to do. If you don't protect that word, you put yourself, Luke chapter 8 and Luke chapter 13, talks about the four parcels of ground, and it talks about what happens with each piece. The good ground, we all understand. The other three can happen. The word can begin to grow in you, and some situation or circumstance can cause you to detour, which means that you're allowing that word to be choked out of you, to be taken out of you. See, we live, if we really do live, move, and have our being in Christ Jesus, we have to understand that all scripture is given by inspiration of God. No, Luke chapter 8, Matthew chapter 13. Let me continue the radio podcast here. I'll talk to TikTok once I get off the airwaves, because I got to make sure we get this through. There's somebody driving somewhere, and this is the only chance they get to hear what we're about to say. I started to say there are some pitfalls that we have to be careful of. When I ask the question, do we ever make promises to God, the scripture has been advising us to be cautious when we commit something to God. Good advice for any decision that we make is helpful. And Solomon turns around and takes time in these particular passages of scriptures, especially verse 2 through 7, to describe those three major pitfalls that we have to be careful of. They're lying in wait for the individual who's careless in what it is that they do. The first thing you need to think about when you look at the first three verses, we already talked about hasty speech, speaking hastily, saying something, thinking that what we are saying is going to be the answer for that moment, only to find out that later on in life, what we said is not what God meant or what God wanted to see happen. We must listen as much as we speak. We have to be swift to hear and slow to speak. It takes more than words to fulfill dreams. James said it the best, but with let me go to the writer of Hebrews first. Hebrews 11 and 6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please God.
Yes.
Without faith, you cannot please God. Without faith. James said faith without works is dead, being
dead.
Alone. You can have all the faith in the world and not have works to go with it. Your faith and your works have to work together to fulfill the dream. Do you think R&B artist or a gospel artist or whatever kind of artist, painter, just name the different artistries that are out there, a dancer, a gymnast like Simone Biles, I can't think of her married name right now. Do you think just because in their mind they had the faith to believe that she was going to become a world-class gymnast? Let me take one more who's a more current event, and she's a bit more wild, but she is the perfect example of what it means to put your faith and your works together. Y'all already heard that Sha'Carri Richardson went and won the women's 100-meter race. She now currently holds the world record for that particular event. She was a known person, but not a noted. The two Jamaican women were expected to go 1-2 in this race, but Sha'Carri, and she said it herself, she believed in herself, and she worked hard toward what she believed in, and because she believed in it, now she is a champion. What am I trying to tell you? What is it that you want God to do in your life? What is it that God is destined you to do? What is it that God is working in you to be a blessing and a benefit to other people? If you don't believe in yourself, if you're not going to sow into the good ground and sow belief, sow trust, sow confidence into the God of your salvation, recognizing that he's able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we could ask or think, if you're not willing to do that, then guess what? You've murdered your own dream. Am I making sense? Come on, y'all.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Talk to me.
Because if you think about it, and I'm thinking about, and I'm probably telling my age now, but in the day, you know, everybody had to have this, what they call a geisha girl figure or the hourglass figure where you had the tiny waist.
Uh-huh.
So you made sure you were dressed a certain way. You had a certain A-line skirt and whatnot. And when I came home from Howard, I had put on so much weight, unfortunately, because of the death of my brother. And when I got home, I said, you know, I want to make sure that, you know, I get myself together. So I was doing a wish and a hope, and this is before I really realized that, you know, you have to put some pushing away from the table in action, and you have to have a plan as far as what you're going to eat and how you're going to exercise.
All right.
That's
All
where
right.
the pounds come off. other than that, Sister Lauren is a chocoholic. Sister Lauren is a foodaholic. I love me some food. I can plan a meal. And all that was wonderful, but when I didn't have the faith, number one, nor the work, as the young lady said, she put the work in. She practiced. She probably did weightlifting. She probably did trials. She probably did injury. She went in and had her heart monitored and had her pulse monitored so that she knew what her performance level was, whether it was, you know, humid or whether it was raining. These things have to be put into practice. That seed has to be taken care of, meaning I had to learn to take care of my body. Number one, get a checkup with the doctor. Make a plan. Stick to the plan. And also learn to deny myself. I couldn't have every sugary, chocolatey thing that I wanted to. Although I did fall off a couple times, pray for me. But it also showed me that, yes, I'm human, but I also have to have discipline. And if I'm going to make a goal, then I have to take the time to realize that I may fall off, but get back up there. If I want to reach the goal, I have to make sure I'm putting my faith in action, meaning diet, planning, things of that nature. And it's very important. I think sometimes we don't understand the seriousness with God. And I'll speak for me as a non-church person. You know, we didn't go around the house, hallelujah, bless the Lord, oh, yeah, let's pray together. We did not. We had conversations about God. We had conversations about the Bible. But that faith building was not there until I came home from college and learned again from Mom. Take the time. She said, God hears you. Make no bones about it. Anything you want, everything, you can tell him everything and learn to have confidence in him. And I'm an avid note taker. I have journals and books where I have written down petitions and requests and whatnot. And I thank God that I can go back and say, wow, Lord, you did this for me. Oral Roberts' granddaughter prophesied to me at Carolyn Harrell's conference out there in California. And this is before I got divorced and remarried. She said, you shall have children. You will be blessed with two children. God heard your cry. This lady didn't know me from pig or pup. And I took that to heart. And I thank the Lord for that seed because I think about 5 years later, we had John Allen. I got divorced, remarried him again, pray for me. We had Jordan 10 years later. I have two children. And I thank God for the seed that was sown. But I also thank God for what Pastor Darden taught us. Not only does God hear you, God wants to hear you. God wants to have an intimate relationship with you. And if we really take it down to brass tacks, God is our everything. He's the farmer. He's the one who tills the soil. Yeah. He's the one who waters He's the one who harvests it. He's the one who stands there and says, you know what? We can do this. Let's go. He's your coach. And when we take that to heart, I believe that gives us an easier way of building our relationship with him through trust and faith.
Blessings. I have other people joining me. Go ahead, sis. I don't want to cut you off. Go ahead.
No, I was just totally agreeing with. I totally agree what was said, and I imagine that when that seed was planted, you know, in our heart of that word, she believed that word and she held on to that word, and so she cultivated that word with expectation and with hope. That God had heard her and prayed because God had heard her. And that's what we have to do is we cultivate that seed with expectation, with trust, with faith, with praise.
Amen.
Because God's word is never going to return back void.
Never. Woo, thank you.
Which is why we have to be careful about how we speak because we're have an important part in it. Like I said, every seed that we ever sow begins from the verbal sense, and it's coupled with our faith, our belief, our confidence, and trust in God. Now, as we plant it into the ground, one thing we don't want to do is put empty promises up. Verses 4 and 5 says, when you vow a vow or make a pledge to God, do not put off paying it. For God has no pleasure in fools, those who witlessly mock him. Pay what you vow. Yeah. 5 said, better that you should not vow than that you should vow and not pay. Now, you made mention of that already, Elder Brown, about Little John. I don't want to call him Little John because he's a pretty good-sized guy, this and looks just like his dad, too. The bottom line is, look at that this young man flourish and prosper now. I believe he's coming down toward the mid-Atlantic to take on some level of a coaching job, and I'm just so proud of what God doing in him, because he could have been a vegetable. He could have been just lazy. He could have been out on the streets drinking, chasing loose skirts, and cheating on his wife. But this young man is doing some things. He is building. But I want to say, when we make empty promises, we as leaders and in leadership, and I'm speaking to everybody, whoever's listening to me, you tend to say what others want to hear. Don't make a promise that you're not able to deliver. We used to have a saying in the day, especially if there was somebody who wanted to challenge us in a fist fight or something of that nature, we used to turn around and tell them, don't write a check that you're behind can't cash. And that's the same thing. Y'all remember, I don't know if y'all ever said that when you were growing up, but that's what we used to say. We didn't use the word. I'm substituting the word behind, but y'all know what I'm saying. Don't write a check that you're behind can't cash. And all that simply means is, don't put your foot in your mouth, because you ain't going to like the taste of dirty.
That's it. Amen.
Story.
Amen.
That's it. You know, so empty promises when we look at 4 and 5. And then there's one thing that kills a dream, kills hopes, kills aspirations, kills goals. When we make lame excuses. Okay? Now, I'm going to read verses 6 and 7, and then we're going to discuss this, and we're going to begin to bring this in. Verse 6 says, do not allow your mouth to cause your body to sin, and do not say before the messenger, the priest, the pastor, whatever you want to call it, that it was an error or a mistake. Why should God be made angry at your voice and destroy the work of your hands? For in a multitude of dreams there is futility and worthlessness and ruin in a flood of words, but reverential fear of God, reverence and worship for him, and him knowing he is that he is. Let's just put this in perspective, okay? I'm going to paint a hypothetical picture, and I'm not saying anybody has ever done this, but because of the you know, we can, prophetic, Pastor Tazwell, we can, you know, because God, we don't keep our word. You're right about that. But we're working on it. We're getting better on a day-to-day basis. And I'm trying to keep the radio portions going. Trying to have conversation with TikTok is becoming a little difficult. So I'm going to have to turn around and do it this way. When we make lame excuses, we diminish our influence. When we try to reverse a mistake, we make a mistake. Ooh, my bad. I wasn't feeling my best that day. Here it is in a nutshell. We have to, as leaders, kind of walk on eggshells on a day-to-day basis. Not that we have to walk on eggshells, but we have to pay attention. Weigh your words before you release them. You have to, because people often will hinge themselves on every word you speak, and we don't want them to do that, but there are just some people who just flat out do that. So we have to say, like Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. If we follow, if people, for especially you pastors, you bishops, you apostles, those of you who are in the fivefold ministry, those of you in lay ministry, who have responsibilities in lay ministries, and even let's talk in the political world. I don't care if you're a selectman, an alderman. I don't care if you're a mayor, a deputy mayor. I don't care if you're a lieutenant governor, a state senator, a U.S. senator, president, vice president, if you open your mouth and make any type of promise, don't give a lame excuse when what you say doesn't come to pass. There's too much of us telling people what they want to hear. This is what politicians do when they're running for office. They make you these 90,000 promises that they're going to do all this. We're going to clean up global warming, and we're going to give reparations to all people of color. And if you vote for me, I'll set you free. Rap on, brother, rap on. Y'all know the story. The bottom line is simply this. Stop lying. And when you're caught in the middle of your lie, stop trying to tell people, well, see, this is what had happened. No, what had happened was you had no intention to keep your word to begin with. And so because you sowed that seed, you turn around and you pull it back up out of the ground. As we said earlier when we talked about those four parcels of ground, whether the birds ate it out, whether the weeds choked it up, or whether the sun burned it up, the truth of the matter is that seed had no chance to survive because it was not properly planted. But if you are planting those seeds in good ground, that seed had, the ground has been properly set up, has been properly fertilized, has been properly prepared to receive the seed, and it's being properly watered, and it has the chance and the opportunity to take root. I'm talking about your life. I'm talking about your dreams. I'm talking about your visions. I'm talking about your aspirations. You're cultivating and protecting that seed. It takes root, and it begins to grow. And now you see the difference between faith, foolishness, and presumption. Faith is God-centered, God-led, God-bred. Foolishness is man-made, man-laid, and always will put you in a bad position. Presumption is wishful thinking. And when you're doing wishful thinking, you ain't doing none of the first two. Let me just say that to you right up front. So let me just add this one last thing. Hasty speech, keep away from it. Empty promises, don't bother with it. Lame excuses, they are not going to help you. Lame excuses. It's a shame that the body of Christ will give more excuses than they will reason for why they do. You know, Jesus gave us the great command to go ye therefore into all the world and to preach this gospel unto every living creature. He told us that these signs and wonders would follow us who believe. He turned around and said to lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Now you got supposed scholars, Bible scholars, challenging whether or not a person can be healed. No, I'm not going to challenge the word of God. If God said it, that settles it. End of story.
Come on, Bishop.
All right?
Amen.
That's it. God said it. That settles it. Why would Jesus Christ tell me that I can lay hands on the sick and they shall be healed? Greetings, my dear pastor from Baltimore. We got to get together, Pastor Marsh. I know we were supposed to do that. Let me finish this show. See, they got me. I'm supposed to be on radio, y'all. And I'm sitting here talking like I'm in my house doing regular TikTok and regular Facebook Live. Anyway, those of you listening by way of radio, this is the way we do. We try to bring it in an intimate conversation as best we can. But in conclusion, all I'm simply saying to each and every one of us, if we are going to walk forward, if with the seeds we plant, and I'm getting to Galatians chapter 6 right now, I think we can start on that next week, but I'm going to start on it right here. It turns around. If Sister Lauren, do you still have that chapter open? Do you still have that your book open? Because I want you to read that again.
Yes, sir.
I do want to get in on that, and I do want to begin to what I want to do? Before we even read that, let's do this, because here's something else that we all miss, and I pray that all of you who are in here, social media, those who are listening by radio, please pay close attention. Here it is in a nutshell. Our title is The Seeds You Sow Eventually Become the Harvest You Reap. Let me say that again. The seeds you sow eventually become the harvest you reap. I want to start at verse 1 in chapter 6. Do you have your Bible? Can you read verse 1? And I don't want you to go past verse 1 because that one sowed it all by itself. Come on and read for me.
Okay. Galatians 6, verse 1, and it reads as thus, the King James Version. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself.
Can I read that to you in the Amplified?
Amen.
In the Amplified, it says, brethren, if any person is overtaken in misconduct or sin of any sort, you who are spiritual, who are responsive to and controlled by the Spirit, should set him right and restore and reinstate him without any sense of superiority, with all gentleness, keeping an attentive eye on yourself, lest you should also be tempted. Here's what I'm trying to get at, and this is where we have to understand. When you sow seed, you find out that Bishop so-and-so or Apostle such-and-such or Pastor such-and-such or Prophet or Evangelist or whoever it may be, they did this. We caught them coming out of Motel 6. His pants were still around his ankles. I'm sorry, lady. I'm a bit graphic. Y'all know that already. And you're turning around, and you are running these individuals into the ground. The scripture did not say you have big mouths and are like newspapers and like the CBS Evening News. Go blast it out to the whole world. I know he wasn't a drop of good. I know he was a whoremonger. He going to hell. No, stop. says that they're overtaken in misconduct or sin of any sort. You who are spiritual, those of you who are controlled by the Holy Spirit, those of you who walk in the power of the Spirit, those of you who allow the Holy Spirit to minister to your spirit, those of you who have a true-to-life connection to God Almighty, imagine what God would have done if he had done you like you have done other people. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. God sowed a seed in the person of his son that he may reap many sons and many daughters. God could have very easily thrown us in the trash from the days of Adam. All he had to do was wipe Adam out, and hey, we wouldn't have had no more problems. It happened once when he had Noah build the ark and save the animals that Noah saved and the family that was with Noah, and he redid the earth. But after redoing the earth, God realized it's not that God made a mistake. The evil was so high and so deep and so wide, God like it was irreparable. So God said, we're going to start this whole process over. So Noah becomes a restart for the race, him and his family. And from that point on, and that's why you see a rainbow in the sky to this day. So what I am trying, God bless you, Pastor. I got my brother here from Haiti. He's in, Pastor Clement. God bless you. Merci beaucoup. Thank you for coming in, sir. The bottom line is, when we talk about restoring somebody, we're not here to beat people up. We're not here to push people in the ground. We are not here to treat people like dirt. We are not here to bash people. We are not here to land blast people. We are here to encourage. No, I am not going to sit there and condone your sin. I'm not going to condemn you. I'm going to simply say this. If you are willing to repent, let me help you get back on track. Now, if you're not willing to repent, we've got another process that we have to go through, because the Bible says that you have ought against your brother, leave your gift at the altar and go restore with your brother. If that brother or sister won't hear you, bring somebody with you. And if they still won't hear you, now you bring them before the church. If you won't repent after coming before the church, you excommunicate them until they get to a point and place where they are ready to come in and abide by the standard and the principles set by God himself. Verse 6 is so loaded. Too many of us don't want to set them right. We don't want to restore them. We don't want to reinstate them. We want to show them how holy we are. We want to show them how righteous we are. We want to show them how pompous we are. And what we are is full of pride. We're haughty. What we are is arrogant. What we are is beside ourselves. The Bible says, with all gentleness, keeping an attentive eye on ourselves. In other words, not to fall into the trap where we are doing that I told you so thing. That is not God's will for our life when it comes to restore. And I don't care what it is they've done. God forgave you for your little nasty sins. Why can't you forgive people for their sins? Help me understand this. Come on and talk to me, one of you. My. Y'all got me acting up tonight.
That's all right, Bishop. You know what I think is very important? I think the fact that people's perception of each other can sometimes be tainted and or filled with jealousy and or envy. Because if you don't really really know what has gone through, i.e. the scripture that says, testify to what your eyes have seen, not what your ears have heard. Now, you may not have seen me eat that extra burger or the extra chocolate bar or things of that nature, but you may see me later on, you're like, wow, she's putting on weight, you know, what's going on? And you may not understand that that is a real struggle for me, because the spirit of gluttony is a sin. When you're overeating, when you're trying to pacify your feelings through find some good food. But I had to learn that trying to pacify the things that I was putting myself through or witnessing did not glorify God. That was not a seed that was going to glorify, bring, you know, a holy return of praises and further growth and strength to me, because I'm defiling the temple. I realized that because in my lack of biblical education, I thought, you know, eating like that was, you know, you're healthy. You eat three meals a day. And, you know, we didn't even say grace when I was a child. We sat down at the table, and my father was a Marine. He's okay, good meat, good God, let's eat. We would eat. That was it. That's how I was raised. So I didn't think anything of it until I got the spiritual training and what goes behind it, being able to understand that, offering that seed, that food up to the Father, not only opened up more food to come for me, but it also opened up my understanding to realize that food can be a drug. I did not need to be addicted to food. I needed to be addicted to the Lord and what he could provide me with, that fullness, that satisfaction that comes from spending time in his presence and learning of him, whereas with the food, it was fleeting. I could eat it, I'm full for a little while, and I'm good. Or I could eat it, and sometimes I was eating and made myself sick, and it made no sense.
Uh-huh.
Or what? And I thank God for the learning process and being able to understand that as I'm growing in the Lord and growing in grace and repenting, because, again, food can be very, very serious. People have issues with food. And some people don't say it. They, oh, you're a big folded. Oh, you're a big girl. No, overeating. And I was unhealthy. I did it because I thought it would give me the ability to fit in. And I thank God for the correction. I thank God for being able to learn that. Even in something that seems so insignificant, God is interested in everything I do.
Amen. But now listen, I'm going to try to do something here, and this is the first. On TikTok is Pastor Cynthia Tazewell. Pastor Tazewell, how are you? All right. I know she's there, but I can't quite get the you have to unmute your mic, dear heart. Can you hear? All right. Can you guys hear on the telephone?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Now, what is your take on what we've talked about so far, Pastor Tazewell? They can hear you.
Well, my thing is when it comes down to the seed, I look at it as the woman giving birth in that sack. If that sack has any type of rip or tear, something happens to the seed inside, so it can cause some type of birth defect.
Uh-huh.
So when I ask the question on the behalf of all of us, what happens to the seed that were planted on the good ground, that were planted years and years ago, and you've done your best, and you did the service, and you labored, but you haven't seen the return yet. I see sometimes when the seed has been planted, it is not so much that you did not plant it on the good ground. What happened when the former connection caused something to make that seed unproductive?
No, no, I understand where you're going, but it goes right back to what we said. We have to protect that seed. It's vital. If you don't protect that seed, it's like a mother, and I saw this on TikTok, y'all. I know I see a lot on TikTok, but it had a good message to it. In this particular portion of TikTok, and y'all just indulge me for just a few minutes, two things. I don't want to talk about the funny part, the cat. That was crazy. Anyway, I want to talk about this. Stop laughing, Elder Brown. The puppy had done something, chewed through some wire, and the master was disciplining the puppy. And the master was very irate with this puppy, but the puppy was sitting underneath its mother, and its mother was sitting there looking sad. You could look at her face and know that she was sad because she know her child had done wrong, and the master was correct in the reprimand. But when the master came with a shoe to spank the puppy, though she lifted the shoe like she's going to hit the puppy, and the mother lifted her paw and said, uh-uh, no, you ain't going to beat my baby, not now. You're not going to beat my baby. So what I'm trying to say is that protection, that mother provided a level of protection because although the child did wrong, the child did not need to be punished even more than what's already been done. She had already been, the child had already been verbally disciplined. So why are we now going to add a physical beating to a verbal discipline? And going back to what you're saying, Pastor Tazewell, in that sack, when that mother's first having that child, the reason why that sack could even get punctured is because the mother had allowed something to happen or did not protect that to the place and point that that sack should have never been punctured. So what created or caused the puncture? I saw something, and I'm not sure. It was a movie, actually, and I'm not going to get too deep into it. where a mother who was pregnant was stabbed in the belly by this particular individual. The beautiful thing about that was that in that movie, that mother being stabbed in the belly, it did not puncture the sac and it did not hurt the baby because the knife went into a specific point to where it never touched the sac where the baby was. Now, had that mother not been in that predicament, she would have never had to have faced that because it could have been dire consequences. Now, we got other situations where when a child is being born, if the umbilical cord is wrapped around the child's neck, as that child is coming out, that cord is stable. That child cannot be pushed through the birth canal because if you do, you're going to strangle that child and break that child's neck. Now they have to turn around and go to an alternative. Most of the time it turns out to be a C-section where they have to go in and cut the umbilical cord and then take the – either if the baby's not – and the baby can't go any further because once you get to the canal or the mouthless canal where the head's about to pop out through the vagina, for some of you that feel like this is gruesome, just cover your ears. That's all I can tell you. They have to literally put the baby and then turn around, do the C-section, and take the baby out by way of C-section. All that goes to show forms of protection. But when you leave your seed unprotected, you can rest assured that seed will be destroyed because there is a real devil out there waiting to get his hands on you first. You walking around talking about, I'm on fire for God, I'm saved, I'm sanctified, I'm Holy Ghost filled, I'm fire baptized, and I'm running for my life, and I'm doing this, and I'm doing that. You're making all these confessions, and then the very first time you have a weak moment, the enemy's sitting right there. Oh, yeah, all right, Miss High and Mighty, you so saved and sanctified, let's see how you handle this.
I think that's the most weakening thing that can happen to believers is that we use the I all the time, and then when the I have a faltering, a failure moment, you know, we want everybody else's eyes to look on us with compassion.
Yeah.
We want their eyes to present to us a comfort and a protection, wherein if we had just planted the seed in a humble abode, the I wouldn't come back looking dazed and dazed and having retinal issues at the moment.
My. Pastor Henderson, I'm going to need you to come in, give us our final comments. We are out of time, but we are not out of conversation. We're going to pick this up from this sixth chapter of Galatians next week. Elder Brown, troublemaker, make sure you're here unless the Lord sends you home. And if God's going to send you, if the Lord's going to send you home, we're going to need a note from you, a doctor's note from you saying, I've gone home. I'll check you out.
Yes, sir.
Anyway, message. But come on, Pastor Henderson. There are some people out there that don't know Jesus Christ and the pardoning of their sins, and we want you to let them know how can they come and be part of this great family of Almighty God. Pastor Tazewell, hang on right there. I think we're going to do TikTok just for a few minutes longer, and then we're going to shut it all down. Come on, Pastor Henderson.
Amen. We thank the Lord for this discussion tonight and all those that have joined. Amen. If there's anyone on the line tonight that does not know the Lord and the pardon of the sin, the scripture tells us to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and to repent of your sins and to be buried with him in baptism and to be filled with the precious gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And if you're on the line tonight, it's not deep. God loves you. Amen. You want to first acknowledge that he is the Son of God and that he took the penalty that you deserve and that we deserve, amen, for our sins. Amen. On the cross, he died for us to deliver us from sin and from death and to restore us back to our rightful relationship with the Father. And we have to choose, amen, to turn away from our sins. So right now, Father, in the name of Jesus, anyone listening under the sound of my voice, Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, hallelujah, we lift them up before you, Lord, that they, oh God, will know you as Lord and Savior, Father God. Lord, we ask, oh God, that you will penetrate their hearts with your word, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we ask that you will forgive them for all their sins, hallelujah, in the mighty name of Jesus, that your blood will cover. Lord, that their heart will be turned towards you, Father God, that they will know you as Lord and Savior, Father God, that they will receive you in baptism in your name, Father God, that they'll be filled with the precious gift of the Holy Ghost. Father, we thank you right now because we cannot live this life without you. Lord, that you became the sin sacrifice for our lives. And, Lord, we receive you tonight. as Lord. We receive your forgiveness tonight. We receive your grace tonight. We receive the seed of your word. You sent your word and you healed us. You sent your word and you saved us. And Jesus is that word. We thank you tonight for salvation in the name of Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Bless these listeners tonight,
you,
Father God. Each one that's listening, Father God, encourage their hearts tonight. Lift them up tonight, Father God. Let them know that you love them, Father God. Let them know, Father God, that the plans that you have, that they are good plans and not evil. To give them a hope and a peace. And we thank you for it all.
Oh,
in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
So much. Listening to Open Mic with the Bishop. I'm Bishop Ernest E. Richard Jr. along with co-host Pastor Anna Henderson, and we hope by God's grace that she commits at some point in time, our other co-host, somewhere down the line. I'm not sure when she's going to come. She might as well just come on in and stop playing. Elder Lauren Brown. And then our TikTok specialist and our moderator, Pastor Cynthia Taswell. We love you guys with the love and support. Dr. Kimmy Robinson, please get that outro ready, because in about 7 seconds, we are leaving the airwaves for Open Mic with the Bishop. For those of you that want to continue conversation, you can come join us on TikTok. Just look for Bishop Ernest E. Richards. You don't have to have enough followers to be able to come and hear the conversation, but you can be part of it. The Lord bless and keep you all till we have opportunity. Those of you by YouTube, I fail to acknowledge you. Charge it to my head and not to my heart. But thank you also for coming in. God bless you all until we get a chance to meet again. Dr. Kimmy Robinson, the ball is in your court. Have a great night, everybody.
You've been listening to Open Mic with Bishop Ernest E. Richard and Company. If this podcast has been a blessing to you, then please consider sowing into this ministry. A $20 gift or more would be appreciated. You can do so through Cash App. Just use $PowerToStand or on PayPal, Pritchard719@gmail.com. On behalf of Bishop Richard and the Open Mic panel, I'm Nina Taylor saying have a blessed week. We'll see you soon.